How to be a blessing. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to see what Peter wrote about being a blessing and actually inheriting a blessing, because that's what the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us his blessing, and he would like us to be a blessing to each other and to others. So 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony. There's five things in this verse. Live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We need to practice some of these things in order to get good at them. Reminded in choir this morning, as the music just kind of surrounded me, how well all of you did and how lacking I am because I skipped last week. We need to be at rehearsals, don't we? And as we go through life, we need to learn the lessons and practice the lessons that we find in the Bible. C.S. Lewis said, "Forgiveness is a lovely idea until we have someone to forgive. Then it becomes challenging." So we have five things, first of all, that we see in the first verse here, verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. He starts off by saying, live in harmony. If we want to be blessed and be a blessing, we need in the church to live in harmony with each other. The Greek word literally means to be like-minded. For most of us, being like-minded is what happens when you agree with me. But that's not the sort of thing Peter had in mind. He's not calling us to agree on everything. That's not possible. Think of some of the things that we might fight over if we were to talk about them. Politics. How Christians should vote. The best Bible translation. Someone said to me, which translation do you prefer? And I would say the one that I'm using at the moment. Someone asked me that, and I said, you know, well, it was one Sunday when I was reading out of a translation, I wasn't sure what it was. I wasn't even sure if it was very good. But, you know, we do prefer some. I have the NIV. I prefer the New American Standard Bible. I have nothing wrong with the King James. But anyone on any given day might have their preference. How about where to send our children to school? Or whether or not to send our children to school? What to watch on television? Which clothing styles are acceptable? How to spend our money? Acceptable amusements, our preferred worship style, the music we listen to, the books we read, the best way to discipline our children, and the list goes on and on. So the list of things that we would disagree on is very long indeed, but Peter is calling for unity, not uniformity. We don't agree on everything, and that's okay. In the early church, there were disagreements. Eating meat offered to idols. Keeping the Sabbath. Vegetarianism or eating meat. Which days to observe. Whether or not drinking wine was acceptable. So disagreements within a church, it's not something new. But we don't have to be alike. to act alike. But we do have to be like-minded. I think what Peter had in mind was what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 2. He said, we are to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The church is the body of Christ. And in Christ, with his power, we rise above the things that would divide us. And we have a unity that transcends the secondary issues. We can disagree on many things and still live in harmony. So he calls us, first of all, to live in harmony. Secondly, if we want to be a blessing, we are to be sympathetic to each other. The Greek word here means to suffer with. Sympathy is your hurt in my heart. To experience the hurt that someone else is going through. Sometimes it's very difficult to be around those who are suffering. But Jesus was always there throughout the Gospels with those people who were going through difficult times. I met a lady about my age whose mom is in Sweetbrook with my dad. Her mom is dying. They have hospice there. And they're just kind of at that last stage vigil where mom is about ready to go to be with the Lord. Now, as I sit there with dad, and he's doing so well, I wonder why Linda's mom and not my dad. But, you know, it's one of those things that we all have those times. We talked about it this morning in my Sunday school class on Ecclesiastes, that there's a balance between the good times and the bad times in life. And we need to celebrate the good times, but also learn from the difficult times. He says it's better to go to a funeral than a birthday party because it challenges and helps our hearts to grow. Third, if we want to be a blessing, we are to love each other as brothers. The Greek word here means one born of the same womb. Now, if you were in the inner circle of my family, you would see how well we fight with each other, especially the kids. You know, we used to hate to see the kids fight. But they do love each other. And I ran across a quote this week. It said, sometimes you fight with your family. Sometimes you fight for them. So nobody else had better pick on one of my kids when the other ones are around. They wouldn't stand a chance. Fourth, if we want to be a blessing, we are to show compassion toward those in need. The Greek word here is actually a compound made up of two other words. The first one means good, and the second one means bowels. Good bowels. How would you like that for a greeting? The Greeks saw the emotions, the deep emotions, as being visceral, way down in that part of your body where you would have a belly laugh. You ever had a really good laugh? If you ever ran into an evangelist named John DeBryan, does anybody know John DeBryan? Songtime? Judy does. John just had one laugh, and he would just, like that. If you ever heard him on the radio and something got to him, he would just, from way, way down deep, just one laugh. And it was, and sometimes those laughs are infectious, aren't they? You hear somebody laugh, and they're good for you, too. So from way, way down deep, and that's where sympathy is. You can feel it down deep. Now, sometimes we get callous in the way we feel, don't we? I read this week 5,000 deaths in Africa due to Ebola. And you hear those reports, and after a while we hear so many bad things happening around the world, we just have calloused hearts to think about. We should be sensitive, and we should be in prayer, as if it were affecting someone we know and love. For the persecuted church as well. You know, thousands of people in Iraq giving their lives just because they're Christians. It's so far away and so far removed from our daily living that it's hard for us to think about those people who are dying just because they're Christians. We need to pray that God would give us eyes to see and hearts to care and hands that are ready to reach out to those wounded in body or in spirit. And the fifth thing here, if we want to be a blessing, we are to practice humility. And that may be the hardest of all. It's a word that means not rising far from the ground. We need to remember that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, that in God's eyes we're perhaps not much more than dust balls. And that'll keep us humble, won't it, when we think about it like that? Humility isn't about making yourself look bad while others look good. It's not about making yourself look any particular way at all. So we are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Verse 9 gives us very specific application of the five commands in verse 8. Peter applies his teaching situations in the way we mistreat others. This verse contains a negative and a positive command. First, it says we're not to attack or retaliate when we are attacked. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. We need to remember that Peter is writing here to the persecuted church. They were called at that time Christian dogs. And I'm sure that it would have been easy to reply pagan pigs or something like that. You know, inside, don't you sometimes feel that way? You know, we were talking again in Sunday school class about, you know, how people curse so much these days. And sometimes we wonder if we're not taken seriously because we don't have such colorful language. We need to remember that Christ works through us when we speak his grace. Someone said, I don't get mad, I get even. That's not Christ's attitude, is it? He blessed those who persecuted him. Second, we're not to retaliate, but we are to bless those who mistreat us. That's harder to do, isn't it? We are to exercise self-control. And this is a little bit more than just saying inside, deep inside, I'm not going to take a swing. I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to swear. I'm not going to throw anything. I won't let them get to me. That's not enough. This takes it a bit further to what Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who mistreat you. Love is more than what we don't do. It's what we decide to do. Sometimes we're tempted to, like the psalmist, say, break their teeth, O God. Isn't that a great curse? Break their teeth, O God. But Jesus tells us to bless those who curse us and who mistreat us. And I've seen some of you in that position where you have been mistreated by others and still pray for those who have mistreated you. And it certainly makes me proud of you. It takes the grace of God and the work of God in our hearts to forgive and bless when someone comes at us with cursing. Remember the words of C.S. Lewis. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. St. Augustine said, if you are suffering from a bad man's injustice, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. So Peter says we are to pursue peace and trust God. The final section of our passage consists of a quotation from Psalm 34. How would you know you are being blessed by God? How would you know if God is really at work in your life? Peter gives us four ways that we can see that God is really at work in our lives. The first one, we will keep our tongue from evil. Isn't it so easy? Even if we don't outwardly say the words that we're thinking, if we think them inwardly. But God's work in our heart changes our hearts, it changes our mind, and we keep our tongue from evil. We keep our lips from deceitful speech. We don't tell lies. It's a good policy. You don't have to remember what you say. Just speak the truth. The third thing is we turn from evil and do good. And the fourth is we seek peace and pursue it. If we live like this, we receive the promises of verse 12. The eyes of the Lord will be upon us. The Lord will hear our prayer. And the face of the Lord will be against those who do evil. Just think about it. As Paul said in Romans 5:10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? This is a change in the way we live and in the way we think. He says, while we were sinners, while we were powerless, while we were his enemies, he sent his Son to die for us. He gave us his word. He sent the Holy Spirit to convict us. And what happened? We are enemies no longer. We're ungodly no longer. We are strangers no longer. Suddenly, by grace, we became his children. He reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son. His enemies became his friends. This is the miracle of the gospel. If we had 1,000,000 years and 1,000,000 lives, we would never be able to pay God back for what he did for us. We could never give enough, sing enough, or pray enough, or work enough to pay God back. Our indebtedness and our gratitude will last for eternity. But there is one thing that we can do and must do. We can do for others what God has done for us. We can love our enemies the way God loved us when we were his enemies. Do you have any enemies? Are you surrounded by people who take you for granted and seem to take pleasure sometimes in hurting you? Maybe they have crummy attitudes. Don't give in to anger. Don't give way to despair. Instead, give thanks for your enemies. That's right. Give thanks for them. God sent them to you for a reason. They didn't come into your life by accident. God means to use your enemies to help you grow and teach you to trust him. And he means to use you to bless your enemies in Jesus' name. So think about that this Thanksgiving season. How God has blessed you and how you can be a blessing to others.